Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and once again perhaps welcome to the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec and beyond. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, and you'd be very welcome to join with us. If not in person, then perhaps through live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. In our broadcasts in these days, we continue with some of the readings that we use in the churches at this Easter season of the year. Here is Psalm 30, a psalm of praise. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Morning is the love, awaking and the bright.
turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of the risen Christ and the rising earth, we come giving thanks for all the wonder in your creation, for the tiny perfection revealed in a baby's fingers grasping ours, in each daffodil unzipping its jacket to greet the spring, and each rock face worn by wind and water, bearing its rugged beauty with your praise. These details lift our hearts to praise you too. And so too do the details of the story of the risen Christ. These things too lift our hearts today, when we read of who the risen Jesus met, how he revealed himself. It cheers our hearts to know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he is alive, so all creation will be renewed. As we thank you for the spring and the renewal of creation in this our part of the world, so we rejoice in the new life that Jesus brings to all creation, and for the hope that we have that all things will be made new in the springtime of your Spirit. Receive our heartfelt worship, Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, ever three and ever one. God of grace, we acknowledge ways in which we fall short of your hope and purposes for us. We confess we find it difficult to forgive others and ourselves. We carry grudges about things done by others long ago, and things we have done still haunt us. Forgive us, and give us the grace to forgive others. Amend who we are, and set us free to begin again with you and one another. Friends in Christ, while it is true that we have all fallen short of God's intentions, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ and him crucified. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, Jesus offers forgiveness and new life. So let us be at peace with God, with ourselves, with one another. Pour out your Spirit of understanding on us, that our hearts and minds may be open to know your truth and your way. In Jesus' name, Amen. We continue with our readings in John's Gospel. And now we're in John chapter 21, continuing the resurrection appearances of Jesus. John chapter 21 at verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
On Easter Sunday, we had a lovely breakfast in the church at St. Andrew's. There was fresh fruit and hot cross buns, and in honour of the reading that we've just had this morning, we had fish. If the risen Jesus could eat fish for breakfast, we wanted to do that as well. The trouble is that when you have fish, the smell of it tends to fill the building. The aroma lingers. And so when people came for the morning service, I would say, "There's something fishy going on." Smells have a way of reminding us of where we were when we smelt them. A certain disinfectant or bleach perhaps reminding us of a hospital stay that we had. A floor cleaner reminding us, for good and bad, of the school we went to. A certain scent or aftershave reminding us of the one whom we loved, but who isn't with us anymore. I'm sure that there was the aroma in the air at breakfast that Jesus shared with his friends that day, not only an aroma of fish, but the aroma of burning charcoal. Now, where have we heard a gospel story about a charcoal fire before? The last time we heard of Peter standing at a charcoal fire was when Jesus had been led away under arrest to be put on trial. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself, gives us the gospel narrative. And so they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" And again Peter denied it. And at that moment a cock began to crow. That moment must have been seared into his mind forever. Peter had been told he was a rock on which God would build his church, and now that rock shattered. There was the smell of the charcoal fire on his clothing to forever remind him of that betrayal. What charcoal fires have you stood around when you acted or talked as if you did not even know Jesus? What water cooler moment, what canteen culture conversation have you bought into? Are there places or people that fill you with fear and lead you to the act of betrayal? Have you got places, even smells, that remind you of the worst of who you are? One whiff and the shame overwhelms you. Moving forward to today's post-resurrection experience, I wonder if Peter had a similar experience. After the resurrection, in which Jesus had appeared to his disciples, we find Peter and others fishing. Fishing for Peter brought back a memory of his past life. Perhaps it reminded him of those early days of faith, of the promise of Jesus to make him a fisher of men and women, a reminder too of another miraculous fish catch on the Sea of Galilee. Peter must have felt that even though Jesus had risen, nothing had changed for him, because he felt his betrayal of Jesus had removed any hope of him being useful to the Lord again. So Peter retreated into disillusionment and despair of ever being able to really walk with Jesus again. Have you ever felt like Peter? Does betrayal and sin in your life lead you to think that you are too far gone to be used or loved by God again? And at morning, Jesus was on shore, but they did not recognize him. He provided an incredible catch of fish for them, and Jesus prepared breakfast for them on what Scripture calls a coal fire. When Peter got out of the water on the beach after swimming to shore, what did he smell? The charcoal fire burning? What must Peter have remembered when he recognized Jesus cooking over a fire of coals? Perhaps he remembered with despair another fire of coals where he had betrayed Jesus. And after breakfast, the scene shifts to Jesus and Peter. And around that fire, Jesus questions Peter as much as Peter had been questioned days earlier by a servant girl around another charcoal fire. And in memory of the painful brokenness, Jesus enters in with a question. "Do you love me?" And Peter responds affirmatively, and Jesus, in his desire to restore, then grants him responsibility. 3 times Peter needed to hear himself say yes to Jesus, and to hear Jesus bestow trust in and responsibility upon him. 3 times to let it sift down into the pores of his being, that when the doubts and confusion, difficulties and beatings and imprisonments would come in the days and the years to come, Peter would remember in his body, soul and spirit that he was forgiven, accepted and trusted to carry on responsibility. And I also wonder if every time Peter smelled a charcoal fire after that, yes, his body and mind would remember the time that he betrayed his Lord, but he would also remember the time when the Lord came to him and reminded him that he was loved and that he was forgiven. What sight, sound, smell, touch, or taste takes you back to that truth today? What helps you remember that you are in Christ, loved, restored, whole and complete. Let your mind dwell there today. And could it be that it is in the place where you meet with the family of God, in the worship of the church, and in the fellowship of his people, that that is the place you need to be this morning, to hear that word of grace coming to you and saying, come, follow me. Amen.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you.
As we turn to pray, we will naturally catch up these thoughts in prayer. But we also remember all that is happening amongst the nations, looking to the Lord to shape the times that we are living through. Whether you liked the election result or not, whether you think God answered prayer or that there was some stubborn resistance of the devil, we all have a duty to uphold our leaders in prayer, that we may pass a quiet and godly life. Let us pray. God of care, we draw near to you in prayer, trusting that your love changes lives and your resurrection brings renewal and redemption into the world that you love. As we lay before you the concerns of our hearts, we pray that you will draw near to the people and situations we name and bring each one the gift that is needed. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for you alone are worthy to receive all power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. With your powerful voice and glorious light, you created the heavens and the earth. And your Son, Jesus, lived your compassion to the full and called us to follow him. And when he was killed by those who would murder your way, you raised him to life again and enthroned him as the centre of heaven's worship. And he meets us in our uncertainty, redeeming even our failures and betrayals, offering forgiveness and removing the scales from our eyes so that we might recognise you in everything and express our love in worship and service. We lay before you, Lord, the concerns that we share from the news headlines and the many world situations where hope and change are desperately needed. We pray for Mark Carney, our Prime Minister, for the government that he will form and the loyal opposition that will be created, praying your wisdom to shape policies and procedures and practices that will be for the blessing of our nation, the prospering of our economy, and the well-being of all our peoples here in Canada. We lay before you, O God, those who are in hospital or care, all who struggle with illness, pain, or health burdens of any sort. And we remember those facing grief and loss, bearing burdens of sorrow and worry. We bring before you those who are overshadowed by the burden of past mistakes, the recollection of previous failures. And we pray that your loving presence and generous grace and the redeeming work of the cross would bring mercy and grace to all who call upon the name of the Lord. May we hear your voice calling to us once again. Follow me. We lay before you our Creator, the earth itself, struggling in so many places to maintain its fruitfulness. And we pray for all the vulnerable creatures and communities who are finding it harder and harder to live on land and sea and sky. Lord Jesus, we believe that you hear our prayers and will be faithful to our requests and concerns. Use us in every opportunity that presents itself to serve you by serving our neighbours near and far. And so we pray together the words you gave us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
you've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.